Okay. Hello and a good day. Thank you for watching or listening. And today I am talking to Tiger Singleton. Tiger, how are you?
I'm super good. Thanks for getting out in touch with me and inviting me on the show. This is awesome.
Thank you. At the end of the interview, I hope you will tell us a little bit more where we can see you or if you're going to do anything else. But before we start, can you just tell the listeners or the viewers just a little bit of who you are? I know difficult. Just small.
Well, here's the thing. I'm absolutely in love with what I might call conscious observation and self-inquiry. I really enjoy looking beyond the conditioned ideas in the stories of what I think I am or what I think I know, and connecting with the present moment and seeing what's really true. And in that, I discover a lot of fascinating things and I just share that. It's like I write love songs and then I share them with people and they either like them or they don't. And so that's what I spend my time doing.
Okay, well, I think that's the best way to explain it to us. And I think maybe just start talking. Because there's a lot to talk about. And I am so grateful that you are with us. I've seen you a few times and it really, really inspired me. But I'm going to tell some more about that later. For now, what I'd really like to talk to you about, Tiger, is that the world has been changing the last 1.5 years rapidly. And what I see is you see two kinds of people. You see people that are caught up in fear, and you see people that are becoming warriors. And it's your one way or you're the other way. Maybe you can explain some more about the whole concept of fear. Is it fear or how come that one person is so touched by it that they can't do anything else and another person is like, okay, well, just get over it?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I just did a live video on this called Fear of What? Beyond All the Stories. And, you know, there's so many playful layers to this, but I think it's wise to recognize that we can tell all sorts of stories about what we're afraid of. But yet there's something that's feared below the stories. And I feel like this human journey is constantly getting us in contact with a more sincere fear, like trying to show what's the real issue here. Not what do you say it's about, not what do you blame, not what do you project, but what's going on below the surface.
Yeah.
And throughout our journey, we are constantly going to face that which seems fearful. And if we've recognized any profound growth in our human experience, maybe which we could say the experience of more love, it's always been through seeing what we're afraid of. And so it's through encountering fear that we have the opportunity to see beyond fear. Now, what do we find out as we move through fear? That there was nothing to be afraid of. And so this is the primary lesson that we always experience, is there are fears within that we believe are real. And then life shows us a reflection of those fears. And then we have an opportunity to look at them to see what's really going on. And then to realize, oh, there's nothing to fear here. So it's okay to love. Essentially, it's okay to relax. It's okay to enjoy myself. And the beauty of this is we are all covering this landscape of fears in a very diverse way. Like some people experience this fear, other people experience this fear, but yet it's all the same lesson playing out. Okay. And if you're not afraid today, just give it a couple of weeks, you know, then you'll find something that you're afraid of. And in one way of illustrating this, it's like our fears proclaim that it's not safe to love.
Okay.
It's not okay to be present. It's not okay to enjoy. It's not okay to be me. And so we are encountering these barriers, ways of perceiving, that are being asked to be seen through. Now, it makes perfect sense why we take our time, why we aren't always so quick to look. It's like we have to exhaust ourselves a little bit, like trying to change something, trying to run away from something, until we're finally able to face it and look at it. And so fear, in its original sense, is like a survival thing.
Okay.
It's trying to keep something alive.
Mm-hmm.
However, there's a very innocent misunderstanding which the human being identifies itself with something that's not real.
Mm-hmm.
And then what is not real gets threatened and we feel like we have to protect it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But the spiritual invitation has always been, see what you really are. And as you see what you really are, you see, oh, I don't need to protect this. I don't need to protect that. It's kind of like the fear of being rejected.
Yeah.
That's a very real fear for people. But what we don't recognize is that other people liking you or not liking you has nothing to do with you.
No,
it's not. Yeah, it's not actually possible for another human being to reject you in the way that if you were a painter and you made this beautiful painting and you showed it to someone and they say, I don't like it. What they're really saying is, I don't like how I see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. It's like as they look at a painting, they're painting their own painting on top of the painting.
And I am a painter. So I.
Yeah. So you get it.
I know. And then people come to me and they said, I don't like it. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah. And what it really comes down to is, as a painter, did you enjoy yourself painting it?
Of course.
Then that's the prize.
Because
right? That's the prize.
I make the painting because I like it. I don't make it because I want somebody else to recognize it. If you're if you like it, okay, perfect. But I can imagine that sometimes maybe for people that will be difficult. They don't like it when other people say, sorry, I don't like it.
You see how we take it personally?
Yeah.
And that's what I call just a misunderstanding. We think it's real that other people reject or accept us.
Ah, okay. And so that's the same thing with the fear.
Yeah. We fear being rejected or we fear not being accepted as if it's possible. And to see that it's not possible, then you kind of let go of the world, right? You let the world like it or let the world not. Mm-hmm. And then you come home to yourself and just be yourself. Because if I think that I can be accepted in the world, then I tell myself, you can't be you. You have to be what the world wants you to be so that you can be accepted, which is like saying you can't be yourself, which is to reject yourself. So because I want to be accepted in the world, I have to reject myself. And so exposing the illusion that it's not actually possible, you see, oh, I don't have to be afraid of that because it's not real. So now I can just be myself, which is kind of like love, right? I can allow myself to be myself and let people experience their own painting. So that's what I mean by seeing through these fears. We, whatever we're afraid of, it's really just a misunderstanding of what's real. And then the opportunity is to clarify it and realize, oh, even here, there's nothing to be afraid of. So it's okay for me to be me. And we're swimming in a huge miracle that can get super confusing. And it looks like there's something to be afraid of, but this is just love's expansion. We're clarifying these misunderstandings and learning how to love more.
Wow, thank you. Just to talk a little bit more about the fear. So for example, so some people are really afraid. They are really caught up in the fear. They have an opportunity to look at themselves, find love within the person that they are. But then instead of doing that, they don't want to look at it. So understandably, again, like they go in a, I don't know how to say that, in a split, you know, it's like they go and then they get so confused. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what I see with a lot of people as well. Is it then that they get just more caught up in the fear until there's this one moment that they really need to look at themselves? Or is sometimes there is never going to be that moment?
There will always be that moment in its own way and mm-hmm. in its own time. And we've all had this experience where we wait mm-hmm. or where we keep blaming or yeah. keep pushing away because we don't want to look. Mm-hmm. And this is the adorable nature of being human. Mm-hmm. Where we're afraid of imaginary monsters and we run and hide. It's super cute. And everyone, as far as I'm concerned, is kind of at that perfect place. You know, whatever they're going through, whatever struggle, whatever challenge, it's right on time. And part of the difficulty in being able to look at the fear is we think something's wrong with us. Mm, okay. Right? We yeah. think we're broken. So that like adds insult to the injury.
Yeah.
Rather than maybe opening up to the idea that where you are for your next love expansion, so to speak, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. is right where you're supposed to be. And so this also speaks to other illusions about I need to be here or I need to be there or there's something in the future that I'm missing. The more we see that the opportunity in life is really for love to be seen, like it's the whole point of being human, mm-hmm. then we let go of all of these other things and come back to this moment and begin looking. And life has so many colorful ways of exposing that to us. It's kind of like pain. If you avoid what you're afraid of long enough, it'll build mm-hmm. up a pain. Mm-hmm. It's like a burden. And that burden tries to pull you back in the present moment, which is often why we shut down and we can't function. It's like something needs to be looked at.
Yeah,
something
needs to be addressed. Or somebody would break a leg, for example.
Yeah, yeah. And so life is constantly inviting us to come back to the present moment to look at this. And so it's just like when you're ready, you know, there's no judgment, there's no requirement. It's just when you're ready, no rush.
I like that. That's good that you say that because I heard you say, you know, the fear of rejection. Is it that we are so afraid of being rejected by the outside world? That's what we do. Is that a process that we do for ourselves constantly, that we reject ourselves? So we reject the fear because we're so afraid also for what other people might say. I hear that a lot. I remember when my mother was young, and especially where I grow up, then a lot of times it's really important. What would the neighbors say? What would the rest of the family say about it? So that would be more important than to focus on what's really going on.
Yeah, and it's super cute because fundamentally, the human being is trying to answer one question, mm-hmm. and that question is, what am I? Mm. It's the most ancient question. And the human being comes to this experience and tries to find themselves, to understand themselves, the mm-hmm. one having this experience. But the misunderstanding is that we can find ourselves in the world, right? So we can find ourselves in what people think about us. We can find ourselves in our possessions. Mm-hmm. But as you do all that, you find out it's fleeting. It's like there's no substance to it. It's like it doesn't matter if a million people like you. In the silent space, when you're alone, it's irrelevant. And so what we're constantly trying to do in our attempt to gain acceptance or avoid rejection is find ourselves, mm-hmm. right? Someone to validate who we think we are so that we can be real, so to speak. However, this is all commentary that's going on in the mind. It's not going on in anything that's real. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by this is, the mind works in images, imagination, the unreal. Mm-hmm. And we all carry around this idea of who we think we are. And we're trying to survive that idea. But yet the idea is not real. And so we constantly have to build on it to make it real, or at least seem real. That's mm-hmm. why we're concerned about what other people think. And we want to keep it a certain way. And this is referred to as the ego.
Okay.
And the challenge that we have is that this is literally an impossible quest, because the ego, or who you think you are, is 100% imaginary. In the way that if I were to take a photograph of you,
yeah,
that's an image.
Mm-hmm.
But do you see how far removed the photograph is from the realness of what you are? I mean, the photograph's not even alive, you know, for starters. And then anybody that looks at that photograph, much like the painting, everyone sees something different.
Yeah.
And so this character that you have in your mind that you think is real, nobody will ever see that character. Notice this. It's like this image is in your mind. It doesn't even matter if you tell someone your story, they still can't see your character, because they make up.
I'm thinking about Instagram and how everybody is just making the pictures different, and they want to look a certain way, but they're still everybody who sees the picture, as you explained, even if it's a million people, everybody sees something else, but they cannot see who you really are.
Exactly. And see, when you see this, you can stop trying.
Wow.
It's like what I recognize, especially, well, pre-COVID, when I would go around and do talks.
Yeah.
I'd recognize that no one sees me. Everyone sees their own character of somebody based on their own experience. So they're seeing a reflection of themselves. And then likewise, as I'm talking, everybody hears something different.
Yeah.
Based on their experience. And so no one sees me and no one understands me. It's like I'm literally invisible. And if that's the case, it makes sense why there would be such a naturalness in just being yourself. Right?
Yeah.
Because the reason we don't allow ourselves to be honest or to be sincere or just be natural is because we're so concerned that people see us.
Yeah.
And my invitation is to extend a freedom to let people see what they see and love them anyway. Because again, we don't love them because of how they see us. It's like, if you see me a certain way, like if you like me, if you approve of me, then I'll love you.
Yeah.
But yeah. Again, that's silly.
It's the same again as the picture. The you like it or you don't like it, it doesn't really matter.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And all of our difficulty in being human can be traced back to this resistance of not allowing ourselves to be free. It's like, if you look at the most violent people, they are the people who feel the most not free.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then that inner violence that's trying to escape explodes out on the surface.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so when you understand your inherent freedom, that you don't need anything from anyone, that you don't want anything from anyone, it becomes impossible to be violent. Do you see how that's super magical? When you really see what you are, that you're not missing anything, violence is irrelevant.
But that's what you see a lot of times with people, for example, who are in prison and they did horrible things, that you can always see. You know what I sometimes say, Tiger? I say, how much pain do they have inside that they are doing this? Mm-hmm. So you have to look at it an all different way.
And then also, one man's actions is not the actions of one man.
No.
It's the actions of the whole. It's like you can blame his parents, but then you have to blame his parents' parents, and then you have to blame society.
Yeah.
It's like, where does the blame end when you realize there's no blame?
No.
And what comes out of one man is important because it allows us to see ourselves.
Yeah.
It's like what is coming through this individual is actually coming through all of us.
Yeah.
And again, so we can meet that with love and start a healing process, or we can hide from it and put them in a cage so that we don't have to look at them.
Yeah.
And then the prison population grows and we wonder why.
Yeah. I had this talk with somebody last week. That's interesting, because I've been watching a lot of those documentaries, and I said the whole prison system worldwide, they should like drastically change it. And that person was looking at me, and I said, yeah. And now I hear you talking to us, and I'm like, I think maybe I'm right. I don't need to be right, but I hear you.
It's not so much that it should, it's that it could.
It could.
Right. You. Yeah. Because again, the challenge in the system also presents its own opportunities. Kind of like, say, the school system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's lots of things that we could look at that and say, this is absurd. But also, it presents a challenge for the kids in that system to not rely on the system. It's almost like when you see the insanity of the world, you stop trying to get something from it. Right. So rather than trying to change the society so I get what I want, mm-hmm. I realize that the society doesn't have what I want. And so I can let go of it and just love it anyway.
Yeah.
And it's that love for it that is at least going to be a foundation for transformation.
Yeah, that's amazing. When I was with you, I was with you for 3 days, not with you, but my version of seeing you. And just before that, I was caught up in a lot of love drama. And then you explained it to me. I don't know, maybe we can talk a little bit about that, because what I see is people are so their fear, they don't want to be rejected. There's probably a taboo of who you are, but also we don't want to be alone. So we're doing everything we want to get in this relationship, get the rejection. No. Well, you know, the whole drill, everything you talked about.
Yeah.
Please, for the people who are watching or listening, can you once more explain how that works when, for example, I like this man and he doesn't want me and there's drama, but why don't you have to? There's no need for drama. Why?
It's a learning opportunity. And it's really, it's perfectly placed. And a lot of the difficulty stems from misunderstanding the point of life. Mm-hmm. The conditioning has been that the point of life is to find a relationship that lasts until you die. Mm-hmm. And we say that's a successful relationship if I can have a certain outcome. And we do that with a lot of things, right? Like my job is successful if I have an outcome. Mm-hmm. My education is successful, outcome. Mm-hmm. And this implies that you're missing something. Mm-hmm. It implies that this moment's not complete. And so I can't really enjoy the moment. I have to get to where I'm going. And this is the playful tragedy of being human, where we don't enjoy the life that we're having, but we're trying to enjoy a life in the future that never actually arrives. And so in relationships, this conditioning gets expressed in the way of, I need to find a relationship partner mm-hmm. that I can hold on to. Mm-hmm. Or another way of saying that I can make a prisoner. that I can convince to not be free, but to be what I want them to be so that I can have my future.
Yeah.
And this will constantly bring drama, because your future outcome will constantly be threatened by the spontaneous nature of every moment mm-hmm. and the constant change of the seasons. And so what happens in relationships when they get serious is that we start looking at the other person and questioning, are you threatening my future? Is this relationship going to work out how I want it to work out? Mm-hmm. And because of how you're behaving, it makes me think it might not. So I need you to change. I need you to not be you so that I can have what I want. Mm-hmm. And I would suggest rather that relationships aren't about the future at all, but rather they're opportunities to experience the love that you are, mm-hmm. share that love, and to also serve as a reflection so that you can see your own confusions, which seeing them allows for an opportunity of healing. And so, and again, it just depends on where somebody's at and what they're ready to see. But the invitation is to not look to somebody else to find your identity, which is building who you are with an outcome with another human being, but rather investigating what you actually are, seeing the truth of what you are, which then allows you to let go of other people. You realize, oh, wow, I don't really need you. And then in this, you find the most joyful relationships is where when two people don't need each other, but they enjoy one another. It's not like you make me happy. It's I'm happy and I get to share it with you. And in this, there's no I love you if. There's just I love you. Yeah. Because I love you if says I don't love you right now. I love you if says I'll love you tomorrow if you give me what I want, which isn't love at all. It's fearful manipulation.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's super cute, but it creates a lot of suffering.
Enormous suffering.
Yeah. Because when you tell somebody, I love you if, and it says, I don't love you right now, what we don't see is that when you withhold love, when you don't allow love to flow, you're the one that feels the withholding of love. You're denying love from yourself when you don't allow it to flow. And that's part of the confusion. We think love is personal. We think that when somebody loves you, it's actually about you. It's not, just like the painting. And so when you love another human being, you're actually sharing with them the love that you are. And in that, there's an infinite supply of love. But the moment you think you get love from the outside, now it's limited. Now we're afraid of losing it, which goes into that fear. And now we can't be ourselves. And it's just an innocent misunderstanding that looks at life in a backwards sort of way.
Yeah.
That thinks what I want is on the outside rather than the inside.
Yeah, that's what I see around me as well. I see it with friends. They're desperately looking for somebody. And then they're always looking for somebody who looks perfect from the outside. But when do you look perfect for the outside? Because again, what is perfect for me could be not perfect for you. So
exactly.
It looks like it's all an illusion.
Yeah. And, you know, innocently, when we're so concerned with the outside, the appearances, that really speaks to the image of ourselves that we're trying to hold up. And tragically, we're treating other people like objects that we can decorate ourselves with to hold on to our own illusion of ourselves. And there's no real depth of connection when it's just images connecting with other images. There's no life there. Real depth and intimacy is so beyond images or appearances. In fact, your greatest depth of intimacy and connection will be when things don't look so pretty. And when there's really just a raw humanness, like a raw vulnerability to be what you are without makeup, so to speak, and to embrace the reality of what is. For me, that's super beautiful. I'm not really too attracted to the world's idea of beauty because it's so superficial and passing, right? It's not, it's like it's Photoshopped in a way.
It's never good anyway. I see that around me. So there's always, for example, bigger breasts, bigger boobs, and it doesn't really matter because, as you say, it's about making the connection. And what I see that people are afraid to make a connection with somebody else, but as you explained maybe earlier, is that because we're so afraid to make a true connection with ourselves? Is that it?
Yeah, well, we're afraid to look at the real issue. We're afraid to look at what we're really afraid of. Mm-hmm. Because it's almost like dying, because you ultimately see that who you think you are doesn't exist. And the more you think you are who you think you are, then the more that feels like dying. Mm-hmm. It's like if you look at any suffering you go through, you notice how there's this sense of dying.
Yeah.
Well, in a way, it's like I lost myself. I don't know who I am anymore. And that's what we're trying to avoid. We're trying to avoid the unknown, where we can't find ourselves in the world, essentially.
Yeah.
But this is also the pointer of spirituality, in a way, to make peace with the unknown, because the unknown is the truth. All of our knowing beyond the present moment isn't knowing at all. It's pretending to know, to kind of have a false sense of security. But we always see the collapse of that security. We always find out that it's unreliable.
Yeah.
And so the spiritual pointer is pointing us in a direction to see what we can rely on, to see what is true. And it's scary because you have to go into the unknown to find it, which is often why people don't discover it until they've hit some sort of rock bottom or in there some sort of suffering, because now they've lost everything. And so now they're willing to look. And so for a lot of people, you know, it just takes the natural human journey that brings us into suffering. And if somebody's out playing the game, chasing the ego around, I say, go for it. You know, do it until it doesn't work anymore. And then when it doesn't work, then we can have a conversation about this stuff. But until then, you know, no need, if you're enjoying yourself, or if there's a sincerity within you that really wants to know what's true beyond all the mind's noise, then there's space for a conversation. But most human beings, understandably, aren't interested in the truth of what is. No, they're interested. Yeah. And that's totally fine. I get it. It's like for me, 15 years ago, not interested. I was too busy trying to be seen in the world. And it was only through the suffering, through the complete failure of trying to be a human being in society, that I became open to look more deeply.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. I relate to that. I had a lot of suffering over and over again. At a certain point, it was so deep, and now I am at the point, that's why I'm so happy that I talked to you, that I have never been so happy, because I just live in the moment. And that is just, and it's not like something didn't change, but it changed in me.
Exactly. And
it gave me so much peace, that I never expected that I would come to this point. I talk to people and then I say, no, I feel I'm really okay. I have this quote as I feel blessed and highly favored. but also I went through the mud multiple times and it's okay. I don't regret it. Because that's what I see as well, is that you said earlier, a lot of people, they look at the future, but they also have the tendency to constantly look back.
Yeah.
Oh, but then that happened. So they are suffering for something that happened maybe 25 years ago. How can you ever come out of that if you're still coming to, for example, something really bad happened to you 25 years ago, and still every day you're talking about to remember 25 years ago and So.
Yeah, this speaks to the search for identity. Again, trying to answer that question, who am I? And we identify with pain and it becomes who we think we are. And so we can't let go of it or else we don't know who we are. And again, there's such a compassion for that hesitancy, because the fear of letting go is like dying. And so, yeah, you know? And so it's like when somebody says, I'm not ready to let go, it's like, I totally get it, you know? I totally get it. It can be like dying.
Yeah.
And this is why for me, all I can do is just love on them where they are. Not necessarily that I want to hang out with them all the time, but I can honor where they're at in their journey and maybe see that they're just not ready to see. And that's fine, because there was plenty of times when I wasn't ready to see. Yeah. It's like we've all played that game. And so looking to the past or looking to the future, looking anywhere but besides right now, we're just trying to find ourselves.
Yeah. And also for other people, as you say, yeah, don't try to speed up the process. Because that's what we do sometimes. Okay, get up now. We're done now. But I hear you say, no, just love them. That's it. Let it go.
Yeah, because
difficult sometimes, Tiger.
But it's kind of like walking in the forest,
yeah,
and realizing that everything is doing exactly what it's supposed to be doing in, yeah, order for the forest to be the forest. Because remember, the point of the forest is not to get to the future.
No.
The point is to be what it is.
Yeah.
And the more you see the forest for what it really is, like its totality, you see how perfect it is. It's like, wow, life knows exactly what it's doing. Now, if I just start picking out little things, I can say, well, this smells bad. This is unorganized.
Mm-hmm.
This is muddy. But yet it's supposed to be like that in order for life to be life.
Yeah.
And so I see the same when I look at the world. It's like there's creatures, bugs, or humans fighting. Yeah, I get it. You know, given the illusion, it makes sense that you would fight. Of these are little opportunities for the truth to be seen. And again, if the point of life is for the truth to be seen, then it makes sense that where we don't see the truth gets exposed, that, yeah, we see it on the surface.
Yeah.
And so like you were saying, nothing changed on the outside, but the change was on the inside.
Yeah.
And then when the inside changes, everything else changes. Exactly. It's like before you recognize what's actually happening, you could look at the forest and see chaos.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see what's going on inside of yourself. Mm-hmm. And then it becomes a divine symphony. But yet it didn't change. It's exactly how it is. And this is also what's been pointed to in spirituality is this is heaven. This is dying to who you think you are,
mm-hmm,
and entering heaven, which is to see life as it really is, to see the truth of life. And then you recognize, oh, it's all just love. There's no suffering. There's no conflict. There's just love. It's like everything that used to look like an excuse not to love,
mm-hmm,
has now become the perfect opportunity to love. And yet it didn't change.
And it didn't change. I love that you say that. I love that you say it's all about love, because it feels like we don't talk enough about it, that's just the key. As when you say all these words, Tiger, it seems so easy. Is it easy? I think it is, right? It could be easy. No, it could be easy.
It's incredibly simple.
Okay. Simple. That's the word.
Yeah. But we encounter our own resistance.
Is that the ego?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's our resistance that makes it difficult.
Mm-hmm.
It's like letting go is very easy. It's the resistance up to letting go, mm-hmm, that is hard. And so life itself is effortless. And the truth of what you are is effortless. However, our confusion is very resistant because it doesn't want to let go of what it thinks it knows, understandably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's nice. Can you, for some people who are listening and are watching, that ego part, sometimes it's difficult to catch that. Can you just explain a little bit more about it? When is it the ego that is doing her or his job? And when is it your inner self? Or is it always your inner self?
In a way, we could say it's always the inner self working out its own drama to expose more love.
Mm-hmm.
And life doesn't have any judgment for the ego. It's part of the human experience. What makes it difficult is misunderstanding the ego.
Mm-hmm.
Which is also like thinking the ego is real, which is like thinking who you think you are is real.
Mm-hmm.
And when you think it's real, then you try and protect it. You, mm-hmm, try and defend it. You're afraid of losing it. And that's the tension. That's the restriction. And so if ever there's tension, the ego is being taken seriously. In fact, the tension itself in the body is an alarm system, like pain,
mm-hmm,
that says the way that you're perceiving is not in alignment with the truth. And if you really want to see the ego's activity, just pay attention to what's felt. If there's any anxiety, if there's any resistance in the body, tension, then there's a confusion. And look at it with innocence. Don't look at it to judge it or say you're doing it wrong. Just be curious. Because you'll notice that if there's any tension, you're afraid of losing something. And that fear of losing something is intrinsically tied to the ego. And because the only thing you're afraid of losing is an idea that's associated with the ego's identity. And again, it's not wrong, it's understandable, but you're not actually afraid of losing anything that's real. You're just afraid of losing a story. Yeah.
Yeah, and then it can relate to everything, housing, work, relationships. Yep. So as you explain it, then for me, it gives a full circle again. It's like, okay, so every time you can go back to that, it doesn't matter where you, which area you go to, it's always the same outcome.
Yeah, and that's the beauty of it, is we're always brought back to the same lesson. Mm-hmm. It's like the lesson of seeing through fear. You can say you're afraid of 10,000 things, but you actually keep running into the same fear over and over and over again to look at it from all these different angles.
Yeah.
And it just exposes more love from all these different angles.
Is it, can people just grow in their life, or is there a point where, maybe they just got so caught up in the ego part, then that's it. They die with it and they don't learn about it, or doesn't it work like that?
No, it's impossible to avoid expansion.
Okay.
It's innate in everything.
Okay.
It just doesn't always look how the mind wants it to look.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like somebody who travels a path of being a serial killer. Mm-hmm. There's still an expansion going on within that experience. Mm-hmm. That's happening on the inside that you can't see. And so it might not look how we want it to look. But in some way or another, there are illusions being moved through.
Okay, yeah.
It's almost like to say light is expanding.
Okay.
And in order for light to be light, it always has to be going somewhere. It has to be expanding. And that's like light being love. Love has to go somewhere. And so within the human being, it's definitely moving, and it just not always seen.
Yeah, because sometimes what happens with people, for I give an example, somebody has a job for like 40 years and they're so proud. Oh, I've been with my boss for 40 years. And then they finish working. And then like after 3 months, they get really sick. And they say, oh, why did it happen? And then they get so caught up with it, they can't see it anymore. But then again, that's the expansion. And it's just learning the lesson and get through it.
Yeah.
That's something that you see so, I see that so many times. And also people asking themselves, why me? Why does this happen? Is that also then, is that the ego talking?
Yeah, innocently so. It makes sense that the ego would ask that. But what's important to see is that what you think is happening isn't really happening. You're just thinking. It's almost like, to go back what we talked about, acceptance and rejection.
Yeah.
You can say, why am I being rejected? Well, okay. Because you think you're being rejected.
Because you made the painting, yes. And you want somebody else to like it. Okay.
Maybe the question is, why are you painting that?
Why are you painting it then? Okay, yeah.
Yeah. But I wouldn't necessarily tell somebody that. I might tell myself that. But I wouldn't probably tell another human being that.
No, I understand. I think we have a lot to think about. So we're in a really strange world right now. How are you? Because before you were doing all these seminars, and are you doing them online now, or how does it work?
Yeah, pretty much transitioned to online. And so now I do weekly live videos, sometimes 2-3 times a week.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's a lot of activity right now and a lot of creativity. And I have a little community that I share with. And that seems to kind of be the flow right now.
Mm-hmm.
And surely that could change at any moment, but that's just what's happening right now. And I'm enjoying it. And I find myself in Sweden, and I would have never thought that I would have been in Sweden,
mm-hmm.
especially through 2 winters now. And
is it cold out there?
Well, it definitely got cold, but not as cold as I imagined it to be.
In your head.
Yeah, exactly. It definitely wasn't what I thought, which is the story of my life. And so it's been fun to see that and just kind of watch the flow. And then also Sweden seems to be the less COVID crazy place to be.
Yeah, I heard that from so many people that Sweden is pretty okay.
And I'm actually out on a farm at my girlfriend's house. And so, you know, there's animals, there's horses and chickens and rabbits. There's all, you know, and I'm so far away from any noise. And even when I go to the grocery store, I don't really see much sign of pandemic. It's really interesting because, you know, I'll talk to my friends and their experience and it's like, wow, that's just so, so different.
I love that. Yeah, I heard about Sweden. A friend of mine, they were trying to move from Amsterdam to Sweden because even over here, I am blessed that I'm with a group of people that are really relaxed, but it's been tough. It's been tough. I just tell people, please don't watch any TV. So I think that's the best way to get away from the madness. That's good to hear that you're enjoying yourself. So in the future, are you planning to do any seminars if it's possible, or just for now have the community and that's perfect?
Yeah, just doing what I'm doing now. And it's such an unknown for me. And mm-hmm. what's next? I mean, it's totally possible that I lose interest in sharing and I do something else. You know, it's just so unknown. And so I'm just kind of riding the wave. I've been doing this for the past, you know, 10, 11 years.
Yeah.
And there's been so many times where I thought I was done,
mm-hmm.
but I kept doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it kind of strips away any security that I have, because it's like, I just don't know. And so I'm really just seeing what life wants to do. And so if that's where the flow is going, then yeah. But I would love to, you know, get back out there and sit with people and share and do some retreats. But then I might not even be alive. So I might as well enjoy right now.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. So is there anything for now? Yeah, we can talk for hours and hours, but maybe that you think, okay, this is something that I really would like to share with people at the end?
No.
I know. That was a question.
All is well. And if you're hurting, I'm sorry. I understand.
I am not really hurting because as I said, you were with us also in the show one time. And I remember before the interview, I said, Percy was there. And Percy's, I hear him and I hear you. And he was like, okay, that's it. And I said, shall we invite Tiger one more? He said, yeah, sure. But I said, would you like to talk to him? Is there anything you need to ask him? No, he told me everything. I said, okay. And that's a little bit what I'm hearing from you right now. You're like, okay, I'm perfect. So
yeah, it's complete.
Yeah, I think so. I think we have a lot of wise words to think about with this interview, and I want to thank you for your time. What we're going to do for the people who are listening or who are watching, I'm going to put a link where you can find Tiger, and maybe, because I know you've also been writing some books, etc., how people can find you.
Super cool.
So thank you so much for your time and enjoy Sweden. We're all a little bit jealous because we want to go there as well, but it's good. I'm really happy that you feel so good and comfortable. So, and please let us know when you come to Amsterdam.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you, Tiger Singleton, for this interview.
Thank you.
Bye.